All right, here we go. It's the Mailin' In Friday. We made it through the week. Overdrive off and running, TSN 1050 online, tsn1050.ca, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 4. Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, Dave Feshchuk of the Star in here, the O-Dog, with some personal affairs. Yesterday, his notes were posted. He had a couple of things going on. Today, he's got a lot more to do. So we said, you got to take care of business, man. Feshchuk will step in, and it's a good time for you to be here, Dave, because that means you get to hear from Al's brother his winner, and it's a big one. We're finally there, championship weekend. We got two ball games this weekend and hockey games, basketball games. We got a Canadian national soccer team that looks 100% legit. What universe are we living in right now?
Yeah, that was awesome last night.
That was great. What a performance down in Honduras.
I have one clarification thing. We got into this yesterday. Feshchuk, you can jump in too. See the color of my hair now? The difference in the lighting?
Right. Now okay. It looks, does it look, am I supposed to say it looks worse?
No,
or better?
It looks normal.
Normal.
Like, okay. Yeah, okay. All week I was, you know, in here, and then yesterday I was in studio, and the studio lights made me look like Giuliani.
Now that's Noodles yesterday, live shot, with the shades on and everything. Look at Giuliani.
The Giuliani drip.
The drip.
But if you go back to the normal lighting, the softer lighting in my house, you could see the normal hair color. For some reason, I was Jimmy Benning yesterday, like jet black. And people were pointing it out, too. Like,
after you addressed it, that we had multiple people tweet in saying, thank you. I've been waiting two and a half hours for someone to point out the elephant in the room that Noodles looks like Jim Benning.
I will fully admit when I do a dip. I did it, you know, whatever it was, 3-4 months ago.
Gave it a try.
I gave it a try just for some fun. I thought it would be kind of topical on the show, and it was a disaster. Since then, the hair's grown out. I've had a haircut, so there's nothing to dip. I've got gray on the sides a little bit, but now it's back to normal. Like, there was no shoe polish in there yesterday, no nothing. It was the studio lighting that was so bright that for some reason it made it look jet black. Like, there was multiple people reaching out like, Noodles, fresh dip? I'm like, no.
Back to normal.
Actually, I would fully admit it. I'm not too proud to be like, hey, you've done it before.
Yeah.
I don't have that big of an ego that I would be like, no, not at all. Like, if anything, I would just openly admit it. Yeah, 50 years old, I gave it a dip. But that's not the case.
Okay. You know, we're back to normal. I'm glad that that's been clarified. I like the way it goes. I like the way it looks.
I was laughing to myself before the show. I was getting things organized. I'm like, my hair looks, you know, kind of back to normal. But yesterday, for some reason, it looked oddly dark. Like, oddly dark.
Feshchuk, do you want to write about this in the Star? Is this something that could make some weekend paper?
It's a huge breaking news story.
Yeah, okay. Breaking news.
I appreciate it, Noodles. I mean, hey, you're going to be threatening, what is it, Bobby Weeks? It's got the, Just for Men deal right now around the TSN family. I think you can make that case, Noodles. Yeah. You could be in there, man. Get your agent on it.
It's a good point about Weeksy. He's more of an influencer than maybe anyone else. It's stealth. But remember he was stretching in a couple of commercials. He had that going for a while, and he had the hair products, and
Weeksy
knows what's up.
He's everywhere, and you're right. Like, he's got a better salad than I do, so I would never ever threaten that. Like, he's, you know, distinguished look.
Very much so.
Yeah. For me,
he's a distinguished gentleman. Our boy Bob Weeks. So that was a cool match though last night and I think Alfonso Davies, who I'm sure you guys have seen the video, we'll play it here in just a moment, the most modern viewing experience ever. I don't know if he was on Twitch or streaming live on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube.
It was Twitch.
Was it Twitch? Okay.
Yeah.
Because I think he's got a fairly large following on Twitch. You would assume so. I mean, Alfonso Davies is one of the, you know, brightest stars in soccer, and over in Europe, it's massive. And the guy's just got a personality that is very gravitating. I mean, his reaction to the Jonathan David goal last night, why don't we play it? For anyone that missed it, that might have been watching the match or was watching something else, not familiar with. For starters, the David goal, I think, is at least in a competition with the Davies goal against Panama earlier in the World Cup qualifying. I mean, the Davies goal against Panama, that was a BMO. That was an individual goal, where the David goal last night was more about, I think, the pass was incredible, the take was incredible, the presence of mind to chip it. And, I mean, it was just an incredible performance last night for David and for the Canadian side. But when Jonathan David scored last night, here is how Alfonso Davies reacted online.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Finny him. Get to him! Come on, man. There's your 1, 2, 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 4. Oh, man, come on.
So he's just watching the whole match just online like that. And obviously awesome. He couldn't be there because he had COVID and myocarditis. And sure looks like he's going to be okay, I think, for that fourth window in March. And I'm sure they're waiting for him to return in Bayern. But that's big. That's big 3 points. And our boy Stephen Caldwell will join us later this afternoon. And, like, there's a part of me, because I'm not used to this, Dave, and I don't think any of us are as Canadians, regardless of the fact that they were in the World Cup in 86. This is the ultimate jinx. Like, I don't want to put myself in a position where I think it's going to happen. But statistically speaking, it's going to likely happen. They're sitting atop the standings, and they've only got 5 matches left. It's pretty incredible what they're doing here.
No, they got a lot of space between them and the fourth-place team. You look at it like – top three get in, right? So right now you're sitting there with 19 because Panama lost last night. You got a 5-point cushion there on the fourth place team, and of course the fourth place team gets to play one match for that half spot where you got to play Oceania or whatever it is. So You're right. You don't want to jinx it, but this is looking awfully good.
Looks very good. Like, they have still not lost a match. They got the best goal differential going. They've got the Americans at Tim Hortons Field on Sunday, and I think we're all, like, I owe an apology, I think, to Edmonton, although that was in November. Remember, we came on here and just said, what are they doing playing in Edmonton in November when it was minus 10, feels like minus 20? It is going to be freezing this weekend. It is so cold in Toronto.
It is
so cold, and I get it. It's cold on the prairies. Thank you. I know it's cold everywhere else, but here it's like minus 18, feels like minus 30. And I get the impression like that's the plan for Sunday afternoon. It might warm up a little bit, but it is going to be ridiculously cold on Sunday for the American match.
It doesn't matter where. I mean, I grew up in the prairies. That's cold, and it's kind of a different cold. Here, I feel like it goes through you for some reason.
The wind coming off the lake.
Yeah, whether it's humidity. I don't know what it is. It just feels different than when I go – if I'm in Calgary or Edmonton or, you know, somewhere up north and out west, like it's a deep cold. Here it's kind of a bitter cold, if that makes sense. Like like I was picking the kids up from school today, and it just, you know, it goes through you. Like it goes through your coat. Like I've gone soft, I fully admit it, but it's just, I was cold as hell.
We did the drop off today, and we all went because my youngest, you know, we said, we'll drop off your sister, then we'll bring you to daycare. And we're all out walking. And I'm like, what are we doing? Yeah. Like, this is a classic example of you pull into the parking lot, say, run for the door, and we're leaving. You know, like, and we had to do the walk, and I was miserable. And you know, it's the beginning of school. You want to put the face on, right? Like, everyone's all good. Let's go have a great day. It's Friday. And there's me being soft. That's exactly what it is, soft.
But it felt, you know, it felt today, guys, it speaking of prairies, Noodles, it felt like a prairie day. You had the nice sun out there.
Yeah, that's right.
At least we had the sun, fellas. Come on.
That's true.
We are Canadians here.
I'll take it.
Yeah,
no, you're
right. You can't complain about that. You can't complain about everything. We'll complain about a lot, but we're not going to complain about everything.
Yeah, I'll take the sun.
So Stephen Caldwell will join us a little bit later this afternoon, get his take on the match last night. Tee up the match on Sunday again in Hamilton against the Americans, and Canada looking good. They're moving towards the World Cup for the first time since 86, which still sounds really incredible and almost a shock to the system when you say that out loud. So we'll catch up with Stephen a little bit later on. Luke Wilson later this hour. Again, it's championship weekend this weekend. And I have found, just kind of reading the tea leaves and watching different shows, people are trying to come up with a way to convince themselves that Cincinnati is going to stay in this game or win this game.
Mm-hmm.
And I can't picture it happening. Like, I actually wrote out some notes. I said, this is what I think needs to happen. They need 3 or 4 touchdowns. They cannot resort to field goals. That's been a problem the previous 2 weeks. Didn't matter. Okay. They still won the games. But I think they need three or four touchdowns minimum to keep up with Mahomes and the Chiefs. And I think they got to win the turnover battle by probably plus two. And even then, I'm not sure they win. I think they'd cover if that was the case. I'm not sure they win. It seems like the Chiefs have become this team that I can't envision the loss. Like, I can't see it. I can't see the loss weekend with Cincinnati.
You're flat out, like, this is a 0%. Like, there's no chance. Like,
well, of course there's a chance. I mean, that's why you play the games.
And I get
it's not,
it.
They're not playing Detroit or something. They're playing a legitimate team. But
all things being equal, you can't come up with a scenario where Cincinnati just rolls in there and takes them to the woodshed. You know,
well, like, they're not going to crush them. I don't picture that. That would be the biggest shock I've seen in a long time if Cincinnati went in there and beat them by two touchdowns or something like that. I'm just saying, I think that the way the Chiefs are playing, with how healthy they are, their offense has come alive. Their defense has been a lot better in the second half. You know, Joe Burrow, I've been waiting for him to have that, I'm still young in the playoffs moment. And I know he's got this vibe around him that is well-deserved based on what he did at LSU and what he's done with a franchise that has really been inept for quite some time. But I just feel like there's a deer in the headlights moment coming for him at some point, and it feels like at Arrowhead against the Chiefs might be that position.
I don't know, though, Hayes. That's the one wild card in this game, is the fact that Joe Burrow doesn't seem to have the deer in the headlights gear.
No.
Like, this guy, he's like the definition of Mr. Big Game, right? Like, Mr. Clutch. Like, this guy if you look at his record as a big-time quarterback, both in the NFL in big games and in college football in big games, he literally never has a bad game it matters.
He shows up all the time.
Yeah.
He shows up all the time. It's just, you know, again, I understand what you're saying. At some point, though, you're going to have a down game. You're not going to be perfect every single week. Now, that can apply to Mahomes. You can say the same thing about Mahomes. They're both human. It's not like Mahomes is capable of doing something, perfect every single week. But I also think it's limited data. I mean, he's played two NFL playoff games. The second half of both games, he wasn't a superstar. He just did what he had to. His defense held on. They kicked the field goal late. Against the Raiders, they could be out. You know, if the Raiders had any red zone offense, they maybe lose that game. And then against LSU, we're talking a playoff semifinal and a bowl game. You know, we're talking four games. Those are big games, like massive games. But it's four games. You know, and that's the nature of football. You don't have the ability to play seven game series and accumulate 40, 50, 60, 70 games in your history in the biggest moments. Take away his history, though. It is what it is. He's been a
big
player.
But I'm just saying, like, Noodles, I'm just saying, Noodles, like, sometimes there are guys that have an it factor, right? Like,
right, that's so true.
And, you know what I mean? And you probably played against – I know you played against some of those guys who they might be a little up-manned. They might not be the guy on the best team, but they can take over a game and win it without the best help around them.
Right, and that's what you're saying. Like, you feel like Burrow has that, like, it factor. Like, that, if there's a guy that could just say, no matter the situation, no matter the opponent, like, today's my day. Like, I'm going to take control of the situation and prop up my teammates. Like, that's, you know, that is the sign of a great leader. That is a sign of an amazing player. We've seen it, you know, throughout the history of sport. I'd love to see it. I don't want to see Kansas City lose, but if it's because Burrow just goes, "Hey, like, today's my day," I'm going to put a clinic
on. Well, I prefer that. Don't get me wrong. Don't conflate, you know, what I think is going to happen with what I want to see happen. Mm-hmm. I would prefer some new blood. I'd prefer the story of the Bengals going on in that market that doesn't get a ton of love, and Joe Burrow's a compelling quarterback, and someone's got to beat Mahomes at some point, you know, on the AFC side. I don't need to see him in the Super Bowl year in, year out. So I'd be all good with the Bengals. I'd be all good with Joe Burrow winning. I'm just saying I have too much time and respect for Mahomes and the Chiefs and where they're going right now, at home, at Arrowhead, to picture it, to see it. But we'll see what Luke Wilson tells us about that in about 10 minutes. And Duffy's coming up later this afternoon, Mike Johnson, and Al's brother, ultimately. And we'll flip a coin here because we couldn't get a video in. The grappler's moving, and I guess he doesn't have access to a hat, you know, or a piece of paper. So we couldn't do the, you know, pulling the names out of the hat bit. So we'll just flip a coin. I guess you'll have to do that, Noodles. You've done that before.
I can do it. I've got the coin here. We're good. We're
okay,
ready to
so we'll flip a coin on which game, who goes first and which game, and we'll do that with Al's brother later this afternoon. A lot of people on Twitter last night, after Trevor Zegras did what he did in Montreal, saying Noodles called it. I was getting text messages saying Noodles called it, that Zegras would go off, and what a goal he scored last night at the Bell
Center. What a beauty. And, you know, I think we should clarify, like, what we were saying is the day before the Leaf game, what were we talking about? The young star power for Anaheim, correct? It was Zegras we wanted to see, Drysdale we wanted to see, you know, like John Gibson. It wasn't like, hey, we're looking forward to Getzlaf. We know what it is. So I didn't particularly think that Zegras had a game against Toronto. He's just very quiet. He was trying. He was, and I mentioned that yesterday, but I said, that being said, you know he's going to try and do the same thing against Montreal, and we'll see if, you know, what he has in his bag of tricks. And sure enough, like, I was on the panel last night for Ottawa, but I had it on my computer. I'm watching this, and I'm like, this kid is just, you know, he's a, we call some of these young players video games because they, you know, they try things that I think are just, I don't know if it's thinking outside the box, the skill level of some of the young players are just, it's amazing, and they have the confidence. That's the thing I think that separates. If you get an old school guy, which, you know, I have some old school thoughts when it comes to, you know, how hockey is perceived, but you get some of these new young players, the new generation, they're like, this is how they want to play. This is how Trevor Zegras and some of the kid in New Jersey, Jack Hughes, you know, scores an OT goal, stick into the stands. Like, they're confident in their ability. They love playing the game. You could tell.
It's effective,
it.
Though, too. I mean, this is what gets lost in the shuffle. And we'll play the Tortorella audio. I don't know why Torts became the guy that everyone has to hear from. But, like, it drives me nuts that Tortorella was so anti-media, so I'm not answering anything, get away from me. And now it's, oh, there's Torts on his media pulpit talking about everything. But Zegras, what he did in the end, regardless of how, it's how many. He scored.
Yeah.
Right.
He scored the goal. It went in the net, you know, and that's what really matters. On top of it all, it's entertaining. It is thoroughly entertaining. It is. I do not see a downside for the sport, you know, or for the game. Now, you know, throwing sticks in the stands and stuff or whatever, you know, as long as it's safe. Like, this is such an old guy thing to say. You can't just chuck it in. Some guy kicks a stick off the face.
Exactly. But I guess I was talking about the flash and dash. Like, you know, if you can deliver, have at it. Mark Bathot was joking last night. He's like, I would try that. I'd shoot it into the stands. You know, like he was saying, I couldn't do that. Like, there are guys that, you know, they grow up just a different way. They practice their skills, and all of a sudden, you can do it at a high rate. I thought it was kind of even funny. I don't know if you saw on Twitter last night, Svechnikov from Carolina quote tweeted, said, like, kind of, it's on. Like, good, you know, like, hey, I'll see what I got in my bag of tricks for you.
Right.
Like, the guys watch throughout the league. Like, that's the thing. Like, other guys in the league are going, you see what this
that's
kid pulled off
noise.
In Anaheim?
That's what makes noise. Like, if someone does something that is unique and different, the whole league is going to buzz about it.
Right.
And Zegras has supplied that. Now, that was the argument I was making a couple of days ago, where I think he used his World Junior performance to catapult himself into the NHL conversation. Before he played a game in the NHL, because of how well he played and how – you know, the style in which he plays, which is thoroughly entertaining. Like, it is, it's cheeky, man. Like, he's got the puck on a string, and he'll try things, and he pulls them off. It put him into the NHL discussion before he had even got there. And I was looking forward to seeing him play the other night. I agree with your analysis. I thought he was borderline invisible in Toronto. He didn't bring much.
Right.
But last night, man, did he show up. And that goal, I don't even know if that's a true Michigan goal. Like, when I think of the Michigan goal, I think of you're standing still, where he did that kind of on the fly, which I think might be even more difficult, honestly, the fact that he was already in movement and, like, the puck is moving as opposed to standing still. I think it's even more impressive than the original.
Yeah, I think of that as the lacrosse goal, right?
The lacrosse goal. Yeah.
More than the Michigan goal, because the Michigan goal was a pass, right? It was like you pass it to your guy in front, you bat it in at a midair. But Noodles, to me, like, that, when you look at that play, as flash and dash as it was, like that was really his only option in a lot of ways, right? If he tries to wrap it around it on the ice, goalies are so good along the ice. You're not wrapping that around along the ice. There's nobody to pass to in front of the net, really. There's three Canadians in front of the net. That's his only option, and he takes it.
It is. I'll go a step further. You want to blame somebody? Blame David Savard. Watch what he does with his stick there. I don't know, Joe, if you could play it again, but Savard puts his stick inside the post. What he needs to do when Zegras goes around the net is slash his stick. Go stick on stick. The puck drops off, right? But I think what happened is Savard is going, oh, is he going to try this? No, I don't know. And then you're late to the party. By the time he's executing it, like watch Savard, he tries to just stick his stick inside the post. If you go hard to that post and just in the motion slash the stick of Zegras, you might get a slashing penalty, but the goal doesn't go in because the puck falls off of his stick. Like there is going to be a response for people who try that, and not a response like, hey, a punch in the face or whatever. You got to come up with a defense for it.
Yeah, you're going to be looking for it. Like, I don't blame Savard because who the hell's ever prepared for that? Like, you can't. How are you in a moment like that, live in the game, with everything moving as fast as it is, and thinking, oh, I know what he's about to do?
No, you don't.
You wouldn't until it's basically in the back of the net. But Zegras now, the next time he tries it, I guarantee you that guy goes to the back post. And, you know, although what'll be intriguing is how the goalies maybe play it. Like, as you said, Feschuk, it's really his only option because it was going to be post to post and he's along the ice.
Yeah.
If the goalie picks up on it, can he stay up in that circumstance? I don't know. I mean, that kind of goes against convention. But
here's the thing I would say of that. How many people are going to be able to do it at that speed, with that opportunity, that wide open behind the net? Like,
it is so skillful.
I think you're better off, if you're a goaltender, just to play it like you did and take the chance that that play is going to happen, you know, 1 in 1,000. And just go, like, sometimes you just have to give somebody hats off.
Kudos.
Like, an amazing play.
Yeah.
You did it. You know, you're able to pull it off with pressure from behind, pressure coming from the near post, and you're able to execute with the goaltender coming across too. Like it sometimes a player just deserves a hat tip.
It was a perfect storm. There's like 25 guys in the league that can do it, and he's one of them. And again, I think the fact that he was in stride and the puck was moving makes it that much more impressive, because to cradle a puck standing still is one thing. To do it on the fly during an NHL game and then tuck it top shelf is just – it's an awesome goal. It was an awesome play. We'll get into it with Johnny. Mike Johnson will join us just after 5 o'clock. We'll play the Tortorella comment. And, you know, Torts has backed himself into a corner here where he believes it's bad for the game but never gives an explanation as to why. He just talks about, you know, the sanctity of the game and trying to keep it all in place. And we'll get into it. We'll explain it. We'll talk about it. Luke Wilson coming up, though, on a championship weekend in the NFL. How does he see it playing out with the Chiefs, Bengals, and then Rams, Niners, among all the other storylines throughout the NFL this week? So we'll get into that more coming up with Luke. Feschuk's in here with Jamie Noodles McLennan. I'm Brian Hayes. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4. All right, Mike Johnson will join us, our TSN hockey analyst, just after 5 o'clock. The Leafs back in action tomorrow night. We'll look ahead to that. The Oilers with another win last night. Winnipeg could be in some trouble, man. I wonder what Paul Maurice was sniffing out in Winnipeg. Yeah. We'll get into that more with Johnny a little bit later this afternoon. But we got two football games this weekend. The AFC Championship game at Arrowhead. Chiefs taking on the Bengals. And then the NFC Championship game will be in L.A. Rams against the Niners. And everyone in L.A. is worried, or the ownership's worried, that it's just going to be 50% Niner fans, if not more. And that's kind of what I expect. And to look ahead to the weekend, here is our TSN NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl champ, our good buddy. Here's Luke Wilson. How you doing, Luke?
Doing great. How you guys doing?
We're doing well. I guess, you know, from that standpoint, what I just said, would that be a concern if you play for the Rams and you've got a home game here? You got potentially two straight home games because the Super Bowl is in L.A. How many Niner fans are anticipated to be there this weekend? Would that be something that would bother you, that your own fans wouldn't show up or would sell their tickets? And even though it's a home game, it might feel more like a neutral site game on Sunday?
No.
No?
No, not at all. I mean, would it be nice to have, you know, the CenturyLink kind of energy, if you will? Sure. I guess it's Lumen Field now in Seattle. Or Lambeau, I know that didn't work out for them last week.
No.
But it's not like there's going to be so many Niners fans that there's a communication issue on offense or anything like that.
Well, Luke, go ahead, Noodles. Go ahead.
I wanted to get to Joe Burrow because we had this conversation earlier. Is there a chance that Joe Burrow could actually steal the show and beat Kansas City, just take his team on his back and be like, that's it, it's my night, I'm going to take it and beat Kansas City?
Is there a chance? There's a better than just a chance. I mean, this guy has kind of flown under the radar all year, but, I mean, who hasn't he really beat? First off, I know the Steelers had a down year, is what it is, but, like, in the Ravens, so to speak, with Lamar getting hurt, but this guy's putting up Madden numbers week after week after week and just came in on the road and beat the one seed in Tennessee with Derrick Henry. Now, I know they didn't have an offensive explosion, but still, I mean, he's getting the job done. He's smoking cigars. He's wearing weird sunglasses. The guy's in his bag, if you will. I'm not even 100% sure what the hell that even means, but sounds like a good thing. I used to hear it all the time. I think this game is going to be very, very close, and I actually think the key is going to be Tyrann Mathieu. If he's not playing, I think the Bengals are going to win.
Really?
Wow.
You got to take us through your line
defense
of thinking on
that.
Isn't there
stopping Joe Burrow?
Well, I think it may not matter if they stop Joe Burrow because they didn't stop Josh Allen and they still won the ball game. I look at the other side of the ball and I just don't see how the Bengals, like, look what the Chiefs did last week to the number one defense in football. I think the Chiefs could put up 50 this weekend. So can Joe Burrow put up 51?
But I also think that and I'm going to say some things here. I've mentioned this a few times now, but I think that Buffalo's defensive coaching staff should be ashamed of themselves. Legitimately, we spoke about it last week on here. Mm-hmm. But that whole situation is a great example of coaches overthinking this. I don't know if they had too much time. I don't know. They got scared. But, I mean, look at the last 13 seconds. And it's like, everyone wants to talk about how incredible this was. These guys threw a ball to Tyreek Hill. The man walked off the line. It wasn't like Mahomes scrambled or like Andy Reid drew up some sort of crazy play that like flooded the zone and got everybody out and we hit someone on the sideline. The first play, they let Tyreek Hill walk off the ball and get 19 yards. In the second play, the best receiving tight end in the NFL runs a generic seam route and gets, what is it, 26? 25? Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know if I'm buying that Kansas City is that good or if the plan from Buffalo's defensive staff was that atrocious.
Yeah, tough call there for sure, Luke. I hear where you're coming from. You know, let's talk about that Rams 49ers game. So if you're not concerned about the idea that SoFi Stadium is going to become what they're calling Levi's South, with I think one of the aftermarket ticket companies was saying 65% of the fans are likely to be 49er fans. You're not worried about that, but how worried are you, even though the Rams are favored here by 3.5? That the 49ers have had their number all year, beat them twice in the regular season. I believe they've defeated them six straight times in head-to-head matchups in the regular season. What do you make of that dominance that the 49ers have shown over the Rams in the regular season, even though they come in here as the underdog?
Yeah, it kind of, there's another side of this. I agree. There's a psychological side. If you're the Niners, hey, is the matchup great? I mean, if you're the Rams, it's maybe not a great matchup for us, et cetera, et cetera. You know, we've lost a bunch in a row, still haven't, you know, seemed to find a way to beat this team. But the other side of the coin here is that the Rams will be able to look at six games worth of film where they've lost all six of them, specifically the more recent ones, and really try and make some adjustments this week. Hey, you know, why are we losing these games? What's going on? And I am a firm believer that that helps coaches prepare. It's a little bit tougher. I'm not, obviously, teams do it, but it's definitely more challenging as a coach to kind of go into a preparation on Monday or Tuesday, whenever you're enrolling there, and be like, hey, we beat these guys four times in a row. they're probably not going to go out and try and do what they did last week. And now you got to play the guessing game. Like, all right, we really shut down maybe their zone run game. How are they going to adapt? What are they going to throw? And I think that that is a possibility that could help the Rams. That being said, I also think, to kind of go to your point, if it's a young team, sure, I'll kind of give you the benefit of the doubt, like, and get in the guys' heads. But when you stroll out here with, you know, I know Jalen Ramsey's on the younger half of his career, but I consider him a veteran for sure. Matt Stafford, who's been in this league for eternity and really been in a bad situation. Von Miller, who's been on a, you know, a Super Bowl winning team in Denver, but is also getting later in his career and probably knows this might be the closest that he'll get to winning another one. You know, seeing Weddle out there last week, I think that these guys have enough veteran leadership to kind of avoid that kind of psychological, you know, disadvantage, if you will.
With Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst, two-time Super Bowl champ, or Super Bowl champ, Jimmy Garoppolo is a guy that is constantly in the crosshairs. He takes a lot of heat, yet when you look at his winning percentage in the playoffs, all he does is win. And is that Shanahan? Is it the run game? Is it the defense? Is it the front four? Whatever the combination is, even though it's not pretty, do you have an appreciation with the fact that Garoppolo, when he's playing in the playoffs, he wins ball games?
I mean, I have a huge appreciation for that. And I think that that's something that goes very underrated in this league, especially as a quarterback. And you also read the interviews about how guys feel about Jimmy. And all of them, you just get these glaring reviews. And the Niners are a team right now that, quite honestly, I didn't think would be here. I don't think they really, maybe on paper, belong to be here, but they're finding ways to win. Going into Dallas against a very good Dallas team, finding a way to hang on there. Then going into Lambeau, I had Green Bay win the Super Bowl. I mean, this was a year for them, in my opinion. The offense looked good, the defense looked great. Obviously, the special teams were in shambles, which cost them. But my point is, it's like, you go out, you manage to get a punt block, touchdown, a block field goal. To me, like, that's about, that goes beyond like X's and O's, and it's just kind of a passion drive. Like, I don't know if you want to call it love for your brothers. That's what you used to say in Seattle. It's like a playing for a greater cause, and stats don't measure that. And a lot of times when you have a quarterback that you really love, everybody on all sides of the ball kind of unite around him. And I think that's a huge factor. Again, you look at Garoppolo, he might not be putting up crazy numbers, but he seems to get the job done every week. And at that position, I mean, that's really all you can ask.
So, Luke, you gave us a pretty good breakdown of your gripes with the Bills game plan from last week. As a former player, there was so much talk among us media types griping about the overtime rules in this league in the playoffs. Where do you stand on that? We're likely to see a couple of close games in championship weekend. Do they need to tweak this overtime rule before it gets ridiculous?
Yeah, I mean, I think that there should definitely be some sort of tweak. What that looks like, I don't know. But it's unfortunate because, you know, last week's game was, especially late, it was like nobody was stopping anyone. It was pretty obvious. Whereas, I don't think we're talking about this as much if it's a traditional football game, in the sense of, you know, let's say it's 17-17 at the end of the fourth quarter. Now all of a sudden you go out there, you lose the coin toss, you don't get the ball, your defense comes out, gets a three and out, and you have a 15-yard punt return, and you're sitting there, you know, with half the field, you got to go 30 yards to win this game on a field goal. And that's where it gets a little dicey for me, is like it's very easy for us to be like, oh, that's unfair. And it's not the greatest system, but I don't think it's as bad as everyone's making out to be. Just in scenarios where it's an absolute shootout late in the game, like last week, it does kind of leave a bit of a bitter taste in your mouth, especially if you're a Bills fan.
Oh, yeah. They're going to have to chew on that for a long time, whether it's the coin flip, 13 seconds. I mean, there's a number of things they can look at. And a lot of it's self-inflicted, like you pointed out. You know, you just got to keep them down the field. Get a couple of stops, 13 seconds left. Play it differently. And they're going to have to live with that for a long, long time. And I'm curious, in terms of Mahomes, who's obviously a spectacular player. I mean, the proof is in the pudding. We've seen enough now. This isn't like a small sample size thing. This guy is a stud. But how much does it benefit him, beyond the obvious, to have guys like Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, who are two of the greats of all time as well, I think we can start considering at their own positions, and speak to Kelce in particular as a tight end. When you consider what he does yards after the catch, how he can just be spontaneous on the field, that game-winning touchdown catch, to keep both feet in and to make that catch, I thought it was just a phenomenal play. Do they get enough love, or is there too much directed towards Patrick Mahomes and all his greatness?
You know, I think that it's definitely a combination, like you said. One of the things, you know, just from a football tight end standpoint, I think what Travis Kelce, what is underrated is just how smart he is. And I'll touch on the play you're talking about in the play in overtime, or not in overtime, the last play of the game for the field goal. So I'm sure you guys have all seen the clip where he kind of goes, there's a timeout call, and he says to Patrick Mahomes, he's like, hey, man, they play like that, the seam will be there. I don't know if you've seen this. And then they've got the mic'd up version, and Mahomes is like, yeah, do it, Kelce, do it. If you go back and watch that clip, a couple things to like keep in mind as a tight end. So to be in that moment, you're sitting there, your season's on the line, there's hardly any time left, et cetera. When he says, okay, do it, you'll watch Travis Kelce take about half a yard step in. And I know it might not seem like, oh, like anything's going on, but basically what's happening is that corner is playing him outside leverage in a soft zone. He recognizes it right away, and he knows where he's going to go. So he's just trying to give himself a little more space because he knows he's eventually going to break inside. And then if you watch him run that route, so I know it might sound simple, like, hey, that half a yard, but that could be the difference between catching and getting tackled and catching and doing what he did. And then on top of that, you watch him run the route, and if, again, it's nothing crazy, but he does a small head nod like he's going to break out. In that situation, a lot of the defensive players are like, hey, we want to keep him in bounds, you know, make sure they burn a timeout. Obviously, with that much time left, I didn't think it mattered either way. But so he just turns his head to the outside just to threaten that corner to make sure that he kind of holds his feet and doesn't, you know, start to cave on him. And that just small, let's call it a yard of separation, allows him to catch that ball, get a few extra yards of yak, and get them into field goal range. So I think that is the part that is really, you know, it's not just like Kelce makes great catches. His game IQ is phenomenal. Those two little things I thought were, you know, and in that moment to be calm, be like, okay, bam, I see what I'm going to do. I just got this play, like, from Mahomes. He told me a second ago, I'm going to give myself half a yard space, move in, nice and subtle, you know, look him off with my eyes and a little head nod, make that play. And then on the other side of that, the play you spoke about, as a bigger dude at 6'5", whatever he is, 250, that back shoulder ball is a little tougher than some of the smaller wideouts because we're just not as mobile. And so for him to kind of know, hey, I'm going to run this route, I'm on this linebacker, bam, in that full speed moment to already kind of be twisting, expect the ball, like you said, catch it, both feet in. I do think that he does get a little bit outshined, and Tyreek's the same way. They get a little bit outshined by Mahomes, but they're both very, very special players.
So, Luke, a lot of gambling going on around this particular radio show. I'm sure you've understood that over the years. Our esteemed host here, Brian Hayes, is in a heated competition with Team Al Dog. So I'm wondering if you could give these guys a little bit of advice. I mean, if you're looking at Kansas City, 7-point favorites, 7.5 some places, the Rams, 3.5-point favorites, Cincy and San Fran, the big dogs. Which dog do you like better? If you're taking some points here, which dog do you like better?
If I'm taking points, honestly, I like the Bengals. I don't think that they're. I'm not saying they're going to win. I think, like I said earlier, I think Tyrann Mathieu's health is going to be a big factor in this game. But I would be very, very surprised if they lose by over 7, and that's just a fact. I think Joe Burrow. I mean, you saw him win, beat the Chiefs in Week 17. I think Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase are going to light this defense up. So I'd like, as far as betting goes, I like Cincinnati to at least cover. And then on the other side, I'm a bit biased, but I just feel like Matt Stafford has been through NFL hell, and he's right there from being, you know, the quarterback of a Super Bowl team. And I think that he knows, if anyone knows how tough it could be to get to this situation, it's him. And I would be very surprised if he doesn't come out and light the scoreboard up.
I like it. All right, Rams, Bengals. It has been noted the picks will be made in about 2 hours, and I'll change my mind 15 times between now and then, but I will take that advice into consideration. Enjoy the games, buddy. Enjoy the games.
All right, see you guys.
There's Luke Wilson, our TSN NFL analyst, longtime NFL Super Bowl champ.
I love that he loves Joe Burrow. Like,
honestly,
very confident. That caught me off guard.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Burrow is he's top three, top five MVP candidate this year. This is not just the last couple weeks. He's had a phenomenal year, and he and Ja'Marr Chase have already put themselves up there as one of the three or four best quarterback, you know, wideout combos in the league. Like, it's they're putting up stats like Rodgers and Adams and Mahomes and Hill and you know, Diggs and Allen. Like, these two are legit. And it scares me a little bit because my instincts are looking the opposite way of what he just said. I like the Chiefs big, and I kind of like the Niners to cover. I think that's a close game, but I'm known to flip-flop, right? I have no spine when it comes to gambling. You can't have spine when it comes to gambling. You got to change your mind on the fly and go with what's right. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
See what happens.
It's a tough call. I mean,
it is.
I mean, you just look at it, though, Hayes. Like, I have as much as I'm with you, like, you look at Patrick Mahomes and – you know, the fourth straight AFC championship game, you know, been to two Super Bowls, won one. How do you bet against that, right? The guy is, he's the phenom of phenoms. But then you look at it, as Luke pointed out, week 17, Burrow puts up 446 passing yards against the Chiefs.
Yep.
And that Chiefs defense, as good as Mahomes is, he's got to score a lot of points to stay ahead of that defense, man.
I can't argue that. Now, that game was in Cincinnati. It meant a lot more for the Bengals, who were chasing a position in the AFC North, than it did the Chiefs. But,
yeah,
there's the game happened. The game played out. It was an unbelievable football game, and it was a big statement by Burrow and the Bengals. I look at the second half of the last 2 weeks for Cincinnati. Their offense, it stagnated, right? Like, they hit a wall. They started kicking field goals, and I don't think field goals are going to be enough. I think you need touchdowns. And I'm not saying they're not capable of doing that, but you might need, like I said, three, four, five touchdowns on the ground, in the air, whatever it is. And that's asking a lot, considering against Tennessee and against the Raiders, you didn't necessarily have to do that.
But well, you're
we'll
right.
See. We'll see.
Yeah, hey, man, Burrow won a game where he got sacked 9 times. Hayes.
Right. Exactly.
And,
that's true.
You know, so he doesn't need a line necessarily to win. And this Kansas City team, the one thing you can say about them, they do not put a lot of pressure on quarterbacks. I think they were like fourth last in sacks this year. So
But their defense a lot better in the second half, you know, overall.
Very true.
And maybe their game plan changes based on what they saw last week. So that's the beauty of football, beauty of sports. Well, that's why you play the games. We'll find out, and we'll see what Al's brother has in store for us later this afternoon. Mike Johnson, our TSN hockey analyst, in about 15 minutes. Raptors in action tomorrow night down in Miami. Fred VanVleet practicing today. It sounds like he might return. We'll get into that more coming up. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. So, big news for Andrew Wiggins, if you can believe it. Andrew Wiggins has made it. He's going to be an NBA All-Star starter in the Western Conference.
Wow.
Here's the backstory. Now, Wiggins is having a great year. Great year.
Oh,
He's found his spot in Golden State, right? Like, he was lost in the shuffle in Minnesota because the Timberwolves were so bad, and the Jimmy Butler story kind of wasn't a good scene for him. I don't think it came off great for Butler, but didn't come off great for Wiggins or Carl Anthony Towns, you know, the kids and the vet, and are they in it to win it, all that kind of stuff. But he's found a role there, and he's behind Steph, he's behind Klay now, behind Draymond. He's putting up spectacular numbers. But I think you can blame the Raptors and Drake for this, because my understanding is they have a global ambassador, someone named Bam Bam, who's a K-pop superstar in Golden State, because now everyone's got to have a global ambassador, right? The Raptors had it, and it's been very successful for them and Drake. And I guess this K-pop superstar urging people to vote for Andrew Wiggins, and we've got a ballot box being stuffed. And now he's starting for the West.
Wow.
So, congrats. Yeah, congrats.
Bam Bam. Yeah.
Bam Bam, the K-pop superstar.
Well, yeah, good for Bam Bam, and good for Wiggins. I mean, hey.
Good for Bam Bam.
I just had to
good
Google
for Wiggins.
Him.
Good
I
for
just
Wiggins.
Had to Google. Yeah, good for Wiggins, but I just had to Google.
I don't know who Bam Bam is. K-pop's not in my orbit right now, but
yeah,
I understand it's
not.
You know, incredibly popular.
It's huge.
Yeah, but it's a bit of a disingenuous start, but that's what you get. If you want to open it up to the fans, that's what's going to happen, right?
It was only 50% fan vote. It's 50% fan vote, 25% player, and 25% media, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, the fans obviously have a huge influence, but
yeah.
Wiggins, if he was playing like a stiff, there's no way he'd be winning, right? So
probably not. He still might get the Bam Bam vote, but he wouldn't get anything else, and I'm sure he got a little bit of love from the media and fellow players, and he's having a great year. So we'll get into that a little bit later this afternoon. Al's brother with his picks for the weekend coming up. Mike Johnson, Stephen Caldwell in Canada with another big win in Honduras last night. That more in hour two. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 4.